Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and on the show, my guest today is author Shiraz. He is here to talk about his newest project, the young adult fantasy novel, Defenders of the Scroll. Originally from South Africa, Shiraz was raised just outside Toronto, Canada, and has lived and worked in Germany, Japan, and Australia as a software developer. Shiraz has typically developed business software, but more recently has been making the move to video game. He designed and project managed the games for several interactive movies, including Snowbirds, which won the 2006 IntelliChoice Awards, and the Dolphin Bay Project, which has been showing at Moat Marine Labs in Florida for 5 years. He has also released his first iPhone game, Drop Zone Elite, this year. And Shiraz has been writing for fun really all of his life, but it wasn't until he teamed up with Rupinder Malhotra at RM Productions to create several series Bibles for a children's animated series that he really took his writing on to a professional level. His award-winning new book, Defenders of the Scroll, is based on one of those Bibles, and you can find out more at defendersofthescroll.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Shiraz. So I want to mention all these awards. This is really impressive. You were a winner in the fantasy and best editing fiction categories at the 2009 National Indie Excellence Awards. You also were a finalist in other categories, a finalist in the 2009 Next Generation Indie Awards, honorable mention at the New York Book Festival, the Beach Book Festival, and San Francisco Book Festival. So this is really impressive for a first book.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm very happy with the results so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So why do you think there's such a buzz around this particular book?
I think it's just a fun book, and it's been nice to get the credit from the awards, but I think the best credit I've gotten is I've had several young people, like age 11 to 15, read it, and they love it. And that's my target audience, and I'm just glad to get the response from them.
Yeah, the reviews that are coming back are really fantastic. And this, I mean, for just having released it, that it really, I mean, there is some great potential with this project.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. So your target audience, then, you said, is about 11 to 15?
It is, but older people have read it, and they've enjoyed it. And I'm hoping we'll get a big range of people in there, but it was originally made for the younger audience.
Mm-hmm. So is it true that there, in this genre of fantasy fiction, is it true that there is a bigger male audience than female?
There is, and I think it's mainly because there's a lot of the stories have the male leads,
mm-hmm.
and that is changing now. There's a lot more fantasy coming out with female leads, and with Defenders of the Scroll, we have Dara, who is the youngest character, and yet she's one of the lead characters at age 11, and that's been pleasing a lot of the female audience with this book.
Mm-hmm. And she's a strong character.
She is. And it's a strange mix because she's strong in ways, but she's also the helpless little girl that needs to be protected. But if it wasn't for her, then there wouldn't be defenders to defend the world.
So, okay, well, we're going to get into your characters, but I'd like to get a little more information on how your software work and that whole side of things actually led you to writing and books and the whole literary end of it.
I don't know if there is anything that led it to writing books. I've always had fun creating things,
mm-hmm.
and whether that be video games or stories or anything, making things with my hands, it's just what I enjoy doing. And with software, the connection is I like to have stories in the software, which is strange because the first game I put out doesn't actually have a story, the iPhone game. But the Snowbirds and the Dolphin Bay, there are stories behind the games. And I think most games that have stories, strong stories that bring the reader in for that, or the player in for that, as well as the game player, are the best games.
So what is it that you particularly like about creating for children and young adults?
I think it's just the reaction. With the older audiences, you get the cases where people question it or try to find all the flaws, whereas younger audiences just get absorbed in it and have fun with it. And with the Dolphin Bay project, I got the feedback when that first started showing in Moat that the story behind that is that the whole audience is looking for a lost dolphin named Claire. And they go through various scenarios trying to find the dolphin, but they'll end up finding other dolphins are in trouble and have to rescue those dolphins. And at the end, at the game, of course, they finally find Claire, but it's an interactive game with the whole audience participating, and eventually one person's going to find her first. And many times that person is usually a young adult or a child finds Claire and will jump out of their seat and say, "I found her." And when I heard that, I was just so happy.
It's obviously very popular there if they've been running it for 5 years and it's still there.
Yeah, that's been great.
Yeah, that's really incredible. I mean, it's very validating for your work. So clearly you must have been a big fan of science fiction and fantasy as a child.
Yes, yes, I was.
Yeah, tell us what were some of your favorites.
I started off with Terry Brooks' The Sword of Shannara. That was the first fantasy novel I've ever read, and now I've read most of Terry Brooks' books. And that was, I don't know, the world just pulled me in so quickly, and I wasn't even a big reader at that point until I started reading Terry Brooks.
Mm.
And I just kept going to different authors. Surprisingly, Stephen King, his more fantasy stuff than his horror stuff.
Mm-hmm. His earlier stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now I'm into R.A. Salvatore and George R.R. Martin and a few others. I'm actually looking up at my shelf, and there's all these books piled up there.
So is it predominantly in those genres that you're reading, or are you kind of just an avid reader in general?
It's predominantly fantasy, but I also read science fiction, and occasionally I'll pick up books on philosophy or mystery fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But fantasy is by far my favorite.
Your favorite. Well, it doesn't surprise me that you would be interested in philosophy as well, because there's so much philosophy tied in with sci-fi and fantasy.
Yes, yes, there is. I think a lot of people don't realize how much is in there.
Mm-hmm. And spirituality, too.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little about this collaboration for Defenders of the Scroll and your part in it, because this wasn't actually a project written solely by you.
No, the project was conceived by Singh Khanna and Rupinder Malhotra, and that was back in 2004. And they came up with the characters, they created the world of mythos, and it was being pitched as a children's television show to various people. And eventually it was decided that maybe this would be better as a book first. Now, when they created the series Bible, which is basically the blueprint for the television series, I was there doing the writing for it. They told me this is what the characters are like, and I had to write it down and make it sound all pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And but as a result, I got to know the characters. I got to know Scorpius and Bantu and exactly how they thought and how they'd react. And when part of the series Bible is writing up synopses of what the episodes are going to be like on television, and I wrote several of those episodes, so in my mind, the characters have already been through a whole season of adventures, and I've seen them fight mm-hmm. enemies, I've seen them fight each other, and you know, make up and rescue people. So when they decided, let's make it as a book, and they said, "Shiraz, do you want to write this as a book?" I mean, I knew the characters, I love the characters. Yes, I'm going to write the book.
So how many episodes are actually in this book?
There's, I would say, only two of the episodes made it into the book. And then the rest is just the book. The only restriction I had in writing the book is that we already had the cover done, which we were using as the cover for the Bible.
It's a great cover.
Yes, I love the cover. And that's actually not even the first cover. The first cover, they all look more cartoony.
Mm.
We've redone the artwork, and if you go to rmprods.com, you can actually see the characters as the cartoon characters they were first envisioned as,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully in the future they may appear on TV as those characters again.
Mm.
So, yeah, they were already done, and I just had to work with them.
Well, how much leeway did you have in terms of changing up the actual plot or the characters themselves?
I was given free rein, but
wow.
But if you see the cover, it's got the dragon and the sea serpent and the army at the bottom, and those basically have to appear in the book at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I started writing, I had no idea when they'd appear. They just had to, and we actually agreed on certain plot points that we were going to have in the book. But when I started writing, the characters just decided to go off on their own and do things I didn't expect them to do.
They always do that, don't they? I hear that all the time.
This was the first major novel I was writing, so I didn't expect that. So, they ran off and did things. The bad guys started doing things I didn't expect, and several times I thought the characters were going to die.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, tell us a little bit about the story in Defenders of the Scroll and some of your characters and this place called Mythos.
Okay. Well, Mythos is a magical realm, not unlike the ones you've seen in other fantasies like Middle Earth. And the difference with Mythos is it's at the beginning of the story, it's basically a utopia because all of the evil has been wiped out. And the wizard king of Mythos, Mornak, has taken the evil and trapped it all in a place called the Hall of Shadows. And what happens in Defenders of the Scroll is that the evil starts to get out. And Mornak has a powerful scroll that can be used to defeat the Hall of Shadows, but he gives it to his daughter Dara to protect it, and she uses it to summon help when she realizes she can't do this on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And what she's actually wants to summon to begin with is the leader of the King's Elite bodyguard that are called the Axemen. So she tries to get the scroll to summon the leader of the Axemen. But over in our world, there is a guitar player named Alex who's 17, and he's the leader of a band called the Axemen.
Oh, God. Okay.
And suddenly he gets pulled from our world and ends up in Mythos.
That is fantastic. That's great. So Alex is another. He's pretty much the main character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He and Dara are the leads to the book.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Shiraz, the author of Defenders of the Scroll, and you can find out more about this book through the website DefendersOfTheScroll.com. I can just see how much of a draw that would be for the young teenage boy.
Yeah, it's. I think it's probably a fantasy of a lot of children and adults just to get pulled into this world and have to deal with things. But Alex soon finds out that while it's in concept, when you think about it, it's very cool. When you're actually there, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, right. And you've got a whole bunch of other very interesting characters that come in.
Yes. There, Alex has a book called Legend and Lore,
mm-hmm.
and in it, it tells the stories of several different characters who they say may be fictional or may be real, but because they're from so long ago, it's hard to tell whether they're legend or lore. And he finds out that when he came through, his book is enchanted, and he can actually pull these characters out of the book to help him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a Roman legionnaire, an African warrior from Kenya, an Amazon archer, a Shaolin monk, and a Japanese samurai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is the gang.
That's the gang.
So talk to us a little about the cross-cultural theme, because this is really interesting. I don't know. I've never seen a fantasy project quite like this before.
The original concept was actually not in Mythos, but in Northern Africa and Southern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just a big cross-cultural area there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we switched over the mythos, we realized we could even go further. And so we went out to China and Japan,
mm-hmm.
and brought everyone together. And the interesting thing is although there's some cultural conflicts going on in the book, everyone's just so overwhelmed from being in mythos that that's a little more secondary than, you know, we have to stay alive.
Yeah, right. That's great. I think that will really widen your audience because you have gone into that cross-cultural realm.
I mean, it's interesting because that's what today's society is becoming, and we just figured let's put it in a different area and see how they go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We live in a global social network. Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking Bibles and scrolls and that sort of thing, but there's no real sort of hidden spirituality that underlies this story, is there?
There are a few things that are in there and that will come up later on.
Mm.
This is the first book in the series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there will be some topics where you'll see that fit in, but I don't want to get into that right now.
Okay, we're just at book one. Well, how does the whole good versus evil theme is part of the fantasy genre, how does that play out in this book?
It's pretty much as you expect. Evil is very evil and deceitful, and you just don't know where it's going to pop up or how it's going to pop up and whether it's in your midst or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, as the good person, you have to make those moral decisions. And sometimes those are hard decisions to make, but it all comes out into being of good character,
mm-hmm.
and getting through it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we have a cliffhanger at the end, because there is definitely a sequel.
Yes.
Coming to your audience when?
We'll see how well this book does, but I'm hoping to get that out in about a year.
Oh, great. Great. And where are you going with the whole TV project end of this?
That, again, we'll have to see how the book pans out, because I'm hoping that when the book does well, that we'll start to get a whole bunch of offers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, how you have several illustrations in this book, too. How did you link up with an illustrator, and how important are the illustrations to this actual story in this book?
The illustration, I mean, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't there for the first draft of the book, and the people reading it still enjoy the story. And I think that the book is fine without the illustrations, but the illustrations themselves just enhance it and really give you a sense of what the characters look like. Because I know a lot of times reading some novels, I have a kind of an image, but it's more of a shadowy image of what the character looks like. I don't have everything defined, and with these illustrations now you can see them. You
mm-hmm.
can see exactly what they look like and how they react.
It's like a platform, and kids can really use their imagination from that, I imagine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was lucky enough to find Steve online. I was just surfing and looking at different art, and saw one of his pictures and said, oh, this guy has to do
that's it. That's great. Gotta love the computer.
Oh, yeah.
So, tell us about, you've been in the computer industry for a very long time. Do you think that the rise of computer-generated technology, video games, everything is just so geared around computer that books and reading will kind of fall by the wayside or become less and less a part of people's lives?
No. I think that books and reading will slowly move towards the computer media. Not that people will be reading at the computers, but now all the tablets that people are buying. I'm trying to remember what the name of that one really popular one is.
The Kindle?
The Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
Kindle, and there's a whole bunch of new ones coming up. I was at the Book Expo of America, and they were showing a new one coming out in Europe and also coming out in North America that's about the size of a pocketbook.
Wow.
That's the size I love to read the most. And if you could just have all your books in this one little thing that you carry around and read it exactly like you would a normal book, I don't see anyone stopping from reading. They'll just continue, but now it's going to be a lot more convenient, and you can read whatever you want when you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The technology is amazing. I mean, you have just created a game for iPhone. I've done a lot of research recently on the iPhone, and I'm beginning to wonder how I'm living without it. I mean, really, the technology that we have nowadays is amazing. So what are some of the developments in software that are really exciting to you that you're seeing for the future?
Developments in software.
Or any kind of computer technology.
Well, I think things like those readers that are out now are great. And I'm just waiting for laptops that we can work on in direct sunlight so I can actually sit on a beach and write the novel.
Oh, yes, in a perfect world.
Yes. But they actually have the prototype for it working in black and white right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's not going to be that long.
With how quick things move in this industry, yeah, we could have that in a couple of years.
Yep.
Then we'll all want to move to the beach. So out of everything that you do, Shiraz, what is it that you're enjoying the most? Is it this particular project?
I absolutely love this project, and I hate this project. If I had known the amount of work that was involved besides just writing,
yeah,
I don't know if I would have said yes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But the editing of this book and re-editing took so much time and was so exhausting.
Mm.
And now getting the word out there and going to bookstores and asking, will you sell this on consignment, just calling different people up and trying to get interviews and everything that's involved is just, it's exhausting. But at the same time, every time there's an accomplishment and I get a win, it just feels so wonderful.
Yeah, it really gives you a boost. The promoting and the marketing end of it really is so much bigger than most authors, you know, realize to be when they first jump in. Yeah. I mean, you are getting excellent feedback with the awards and really, I mean, this book just came out, so it really, really, really looks promising. Are you doing any book signings that we can kind of plug here?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well,
the other problem is that because I'm a contractor, I'm moving around from contract to contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in Toronto right now, but I will be in Victoria, in British Columbia for the next 2 months. And then I don't know where after that. So.
That's right. You're a bit of a gypsy with your work. You're moving around. You don't really have a home. I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah, I basically gave up all semblance of having a home about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I own, except for my car, fits in two suitcases, and the two suitcases fit in the car, so I'm good.
That's great. So home is where your hat is.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Well, we really wish you all the best, Shiraz. This really is a great, great project. It has the potential to really go far. So I hope that you stay in touch. Your website is Defenders of the Scroll, and I know that our audience can contact you through your website. Also, the book can be purchased there as well as through online booksellers and local bookstores.
Not local bookstores yet.
But it can be. They can order it when it hits the shelf.
It hits the shelves, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, is there anything you wanted to share with our audience, any final thoughts before we let you go today?
Just if you've really got a great idea for a book, don't think about it. Get out there and do it because you never know what happens.
Mm-hmm. Great final thoughts. Well, thank you, Shiraz. You take care and enjoy Victoria. It's beautiful out there.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, audience. That has been Shiraz. His new book, Defenders of the Scroll, is out now, available through online booksellers. Do check it out. This is a fantastic book, getting great, great reviews from its reading audience, and I just really highly recommend it. So Shiraz's website is Defenders of the Scroll. You can connect with him there. And I just want to thank you for tuning into our interview today on Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.